Salam and good evening to you, worthy friend. Please, please, come closer.
Too close, a little too close.
Hello and welcome to this edition of the Disney Brit Podcast, episode 35 for Wednesday, the 3rd of March, 2010. You join me and Juz. We are Craigless this week due to him having moved house, doesn't quite have the connection to join us on the show. But me and Juz will be taking you through the usual news and rumours. Going to bring you day 19 of the Disney Daily Diary, and then we're going to move on to our Round the World in 80 segments, where we take a look at Adventureland shopping and dining. And we've been talking to you guys on Facebook and via our forums, and we asked you whether you wanted a segment to do with doing Disney DIY, doing it yourself, and there was an overwhelming response of a yes. So we're going to bring you a segment on how to go out to Orlando and to do it yourself rather than through a travel agent. That's pretty much everything for the show. So without any further ado, let's get on with this this edition of the Disney Brit Podcast.
Good morning, sire.
Good morning, Zazu.
Checking in with the morning report.
Fire away.
Hello and welcome to the news and rumours for this edition of the show. As always, joining me is Juz. Hello, Juz.
Hi, Adam. Hi, Disney Pod people. And hi, Craig.
Hi, Craig.
Oh.
Craig? Hi, Craig. Oh, he's not here. Craig's not here. Craig's just moved house. His internet signal is GPRS, which means that when he does try to talk to us, even via Skype, it takes him an hour to get one thing out in a conversation. So, hello, Craig, who I know is listening but isn't with us this show. You've just got to put up with us too, unfortunately. But I'm sure it'll be fine. And also, I've been poorly over the weekend, so I've got hardly any voice. So it's all going really well.
I'm fine.
Just as fine. Just as fine for all of us. Let's head into the news then. Let's step straight in. And I've got a bit of news which is sort of, I suppose, about an event that's coming up in Walt Disney World that's being run by the Reedy Creek Fire Station, number 4. This is from Jeff Armstrong, who works over at the Reedy Creek Development. He asked me if I'd mention this, and it's about the Relay for Life. This event's going to be run by the Reedy Creek Fire Department. It's a little way off. It's the 30th of April 2010. This Relay for Life is a walking event. It's happening at 6 p.m. on that day, and it's being held in honor of the American Cancer Society, who basically hold these Relay for Lives. They're going to be happening overnight, and it's for 18 hours in total. And there's several ways that people can get involved. They can come along just and support. That's not a problem whatsoever. Just come and say hello. You can also take part, but there's three different levels almost. There's the Celebrate the Survivors lap. That's where the relay starts with these people. And these are people who have survived this disease. They're able to take part almost to celebrate getting through the ordeal they've been through. There's also the Luminaria ceremony, which is again the laps. And that's for people who are going to be traveling around to remember people who've been lost to cancer. They're actually going to be given what is a bag that's filled with sand and has a candle inside that they're able to carry around in memory of the person they're walking for. This is often done in silence, this section. And then there's the Fight Back Through Fundraising section, which is at the end. It's a chance, in addition to the fundraising teams that are going to be there, for you to just go and take part. There's going to be food, there's going to be face painting, there's going to be crafts. The relay teams are still going to be going on, and there's going to be loads and loads of stuff. You're going to be able to make donations through the relay for Life website and things like that. So a great cause. I know it's not until April the 30th, but Jeff asked me to ask to mention it. I thought, what a fantastic cause. We'll mention that for him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Jez, over to you.
Is it? Sorry, I wasn't paying attention then.
Thanks. You just wandered off.
Just wandered off. No. I think that's a great cause, by the way. I think there's a Facebook group as well you can join, isn't there?
There is, yes. Yeah, there is now. I think it came up probably today or yesterday.
Yeah, so there's no excuse. Get down there and join, if nothing else, and show support.
Yeah.
ESPN.
Yes.
Is that where we're up to now?
It is indeed.
Really should pay more attention to that. Worldwide of Sports rebranded, big ceremony. Yeah, Disney Worldwide of Sports was rebranded on the 25th of February, which is, last week, isn't it? And the event was attended by many celebrities. Stars to the reception, including the Harlem Globetrotters office, which are awesome to go and see, and Mike from ESPN, which are on, is it every morning?
I think it's every morning, yeah.
Every morning, I think Mike and Mike are on, and they were honorary assistant coaches. And it's just big change around there, big bit of rebranding. Do you think this was really sort of went off with a bomb, or do you think this is something that people aren't really bothered about?
It seems that there's been a lot of stuff going on about it. A lot of people on Facebook, things like that, have been talking about it. There was big coverage for it. Certainly there was a conference, or the actual sort of rebranding was done live over the internet. You could sort of go onto a webcast about that. Plenty of celebrities there. Sort of a red carpet ceremony. It seems like it's gone off really well.
So you think it's going to be a lot more there now? It's banded up like this, and they're going to make it a bigger attraction and bigger area?
I think they're probably going to be able to do more with it now it's got the ESPN logo. Before, it was just known as Worldwide of Sports. There wasn't any sort of link with any sort of franchise, whereas now ESPN are in there and have got that franchise, I wouldn't be surprised if we start to see bigger things coming.
It's easy to say, I know that.
Yeah, it is, yeah. That's very true. Something interesting, a link to that as well, is a change to transportation. I don't understand why they've done this, but they certainly have. Starting a few days ago, the bus services that have been provided over to the Worldwide of Sports between All Stars Resorts, Pop Century Resort, Caribbean Beach, and the ESPN Worldwide of Sports, that's how it's going to be running now. So between All Stars, Pop Century, Caribbean Beach and the Worldwide of Sports, the existing route that did exist between Hollywood Studios and the Worldwide has now been discontinued. That has stopped completely. There's no reason as to why that has happened, just has. But operating hours for the new routes are going to vary according to events, but typically are going to run between about 7 a.m. and 11 p.m.
So they're just taking people from resorts rather than
it
from
seems
the park.
So, yeah. But I always thought Hollywood Studios was an interesting resort for them to go from anyway. But it seems that, yes, they're just going to go from resorts now.
All right. Well, who are we to argue then?
Oh, exactly.
Just to follow on from that then, the Braves spring training schedule has been announced. This is from Wednesday, March 3rd to Wednesday, 31st of March. I don't know if you want me to go through all these.
No, I don't think
you out. We've got the Mets, we've got the Pittsburgh Pirates, Houston Astros, of course the Florida Marlins, just down the road, Detroit Tigers, New York Yankees. There is a lot of names on here.
Massive.
And I bet you get played every other day, if not every day. The prices are good. Prices range from $15 to $39. And you get more information from disneysports.com/Atlanta Braves. But if you're down there, you can't miss this. It's a
no.
Lot of great.
There's some great teams on there. You know, you've got Toronto Blue Jays and New York Mets, who are arguably one of the most famous baseball teams. I don't know. That's just an immense event again. It's become such almost a staple of the March sort of season over at Walt Disney World. And if you're heading over, maybe heading over just before Easter from the UK, do go and check it out. Because to be honest, $15 for a ticket. Most games are at about 1 o'clock, some later in the evening. But it's a great experience just to appreciate what baseball really is live. Annual pass changes. There are rumours, and this is rumours only, but I wanted to share these with you because they're quite an interesting rumour, that there's now going to be a monthly payment plan for annual pass holders at Walt Disney World, similar to the way they do them in California. Now, the Walt Disney World version is expected to only be available to Florida residents and is going to require a deposit and credit card payments. But I thought, isn't this fantastic that finally Disney are catching up and thinking, in these times when people can't afford to maybe pay out $400 in one go, they're now allowing you to pay in monthly instalments to go and enjoy your time at Walt Disney World.
Yeah, if it takes off, it'd be nice if they could do it for visitors coming across there. If you book, you know, people book the holidays 12 months in advance, wouldn't it be nice to pay off in monthly sums before you get there?
Oh, I see, that'd be fantastic. There's also rumours that they're going to do an annual pass that's going to span both California and Florida as well. It'd be interesting to see whether that comes or not. But I just think it really is about time they did this. There's a lot of people who maybe downgrade the annual pass that they get to something slightly lower with blackout dates because they can't afford to pay out the full amount, whereas suddenly you're able to spread it over monthly payments, it becomes so much easier to be able to afford that top sort of ticket. And I don't see how it's going to harm Disney doing this. I suppose it isn't going to harm Disney doing it at all, is it? It's going to bring extra revenue in for them.
Definitely, yeah. I heard what someone, I can't mention where it went round, that someone went into one of the parks with the other park's ticket, annual pass, and was allowed to do so. And I can't remember if you had the California one, you could get it to WDW or not.
Oh, right.
I have a feeling that someone actually said you could do it. I don't know why they don't do a world pass and just go, here you go, if you're bouncing around.
Yeah.
You get little stamps as well.
Yeah, that'd be fantastic.
Or if you buy an annual pass for somebody, it should be valid for everywhere else.
Yeah. That would be cool. Okay. So if you're heading out to Paris, maybe for one off or something, you could use it there. World pass would be great.
I can't see why they couldn't do it, because in effect, you're going into a park, you can't go to the same park on the same day across the continent. And if you do an intercharge system of some description.
So what, saying, you know, you buy this pass, it's valid for unlimited entry to both California and Walt Disney World, and gives you 3 days entry into each of the other parks around the world, sort of thing.
Yeah.
It'd be a great incentive.
Yeah, it would be.
You know, I think I'd consider doing that, definitely. I suppose with Paris, you know, you got a 3-day ticket for Paris and then you were going to Walt Disney World in the summer. That'd be brilliant for something like somebody like us. It'd be fantastic to do.
Or if you're an annual pass holder for Paris, you should get a discount for your annual pass or tickets elsewhere.
Yeah, that'd also be really good. It'd be nice to see if they do, because there's very little difference in price for Walt Disney World when you're buying them from the UK. They're usually more expensive than Disney that offer them, but there's never anything any cheaper. Right, let's head into Magic Kingdom then. You got a bit of news for us for there.
Yeah, just like the permits have now been filed for the Fantasyland expansion. They've all been filed with Orange County now, so groundbreaking, they reckon, will continue at some point this month. And the work isn't going to affect any of the in-park experiences this year. The only exception being Walt Disney World Railroad, which will just fall off its track as you go around there.
Yeah.
I was looking at the map, that's probably the only thing it should affect, because everything's happening towards that area and not the front of it. I presume it's just a lot of boards going to go up.
I would think so. The rumours are that there's going to be 3 or 4 month closure for the railroad, which is understandable for the amount of work that's going to be going on over there. But have you ever looked at any of these permits that they've Disney file?
Yeah. It's funny, because when they say they're filing permits, it's, you know, the UK, I always think of what you've got to do to actually get some building work done and go through the council, and that's a big rigmarole. These permits just seem like, I'm doing this, is that a tough...
Yeah, it's so dull to look at.
And I'm starting this month.
It doesn't tell you anything, does it? It tells you absolutely nothing. Just a bit of flouncy word in here and there and a signature. And that's it. That's all you get.
Mickey Mouse's signature.
Mickey's signature.
I'm digging.
But I've got a bit of news that links to that of the Fantasyland expansion. There were talks of the expansion beginning within Fantasyland itself as well, and it seems that that is now beginning to happen. There was talk that the facade of the Many Adventures of Winnie the Pooh was going to change. It was going to become a 100-acre wood look. And if you now go over to Walt Disney World and you go into the Magic Kingdom, you can see on the left-hand side of the entrance some green fencing that has gone up, and it seems that this is the beginning of, or one of the first visible changes that is going to happen towards Fantasyland expansion. They have rethatched Mrs. Potts' cupboard to give it that more cottagey wood sort of feel, but it seems that this is going to begin the 100-acre wood look that's going to come out in front of Many Adventures of Winnie the Pooh. So great to see that this Fantasyland expansion is beginning to have an impact on what we're going to be seeing in the park over the next year.
Hmm.
Right, should we head over to Epcot?
Yeah.
It takes a while to get there, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, but now I'm on the monorail.
Yeah, so. just you got to queue people in front.
It's not so much that, it's, there's so much road you can see, isn't there? So, yeah, there. It always seems like a good idea getting the Magic Kingdom to Epcot, and then you get on and you go, oh, I could have driven this in about 5 minutes.
That's true.
I'm stuck miles away from my car. Just let you know, there's a new gift shop opening, gift shop for China. Just started up the pavilion there. The new shop is on the promenade of the World Showcase, next to the refreshment pond. Its current title seems to be the Good Fortune Gift Shop. And I saw this and I thought, you know, it'd be funny. Do you pick stuff up and does it say Made in China underneath it? Or does it say something really bizarre? Not like Made in Mexico.
Yeah.
Does stuff in China say Made in China or just Made Here?
I think probably just to say Made Here. Yeah, that's true.
But they've done a lot
you
of
are
China.
Here.
Yeah, they've done a fair bit of China, the restaurants and now this. It's nice to see, even with Fantasyland expansion stuff, there's still things happening elsewhere, isn't it?
Yeah, there seem to be little things, but there's still things that are going to make people notice a difference. I just find it very bizarre that they're putting a sort of gift shop on the promenade.
Yeah, but they're sort of expanding out a bit, aren't they? But,
yeah.
It does a bit funny in a lot of ways, I suppose.
They are starting to expand out that way, and that sort of leads us on to the Cantina de San Angel, which is currently the Cantina de San Angel, which is I got it right the second time, of which they are currently doing a lot of work to. They bulldozed the entire thing. The rumours were that this new inn is going to have two stories. Disney still haven't announced that that's going to happen. They have announced that the site will be increased capacity and. I think it's going to be 300 or 400 seats. So for them to increase the capacity that much, bearing in mind how much space there is, it almost makes me think that it's going to have to be two-story. But also, construction this week seems to have spread out slightly into the lake. They've put some markers into the lake that make it look like there's going to be a pier that's going to thrust out into the lagoon.
Ooh.
So it'd be quite nice, you know, to sit, have a meal, maybe late in the evening, sat out on the lake, so you've got the water around you, and watching illuminations. It sounds like it's going to be a fantastic, if not very popular, place to watch illuminations.
I wonder if it's going to be like Rose and Crown, where you can go down to their separate brick pier. I mean, you don't eat, but you're allowed to go down, so where the guests can do the same. So you can't eat on the pier, but you'll be allowed to go to the private viewing area.
Possibly, yeah. Or it may also be, because there's rumours that there's going to be a dessert party that's going to happen there as well, whether that's the area, that they may just have that dessert party.
Or it could be just where you just dive off and have a swim.
Yeah, just go and have a swim in and, you know, go and get a closer look. Don't go past the boy because you might get burned, but you're fine there. Yeah, you never know, it might happen. Right, go ahead, Joe's. Flower Power Concerts. It's time for our favourite game, I think.
Yes, Flower Power. The dates. We'll run through these and see how many we can.
This is exactly what we mean by our favourite game. How many of these do we know?
March the 5th to the 7th. Do you know what? I've really got to be careful how I say this.
Got it.
Jose.
Yeah.
Feliciano. Yeah, well, I didn't want to say. Yeah, well, there's obviously reasons why I was being very careful with the surname. don't know.
You? I've heard of them, but I don't know what sort of music he is.
You say them and then
him.
He.
I think you know what I mean? He. What he has, Jose, has done. I've just spat all over my microphone. I've heard of him. Go on then.
March 12th, 14th, Paul Revere and the Raiders.
Yes, I know them. Him, them.
Him and them.
Yeah.
March 19th, 21st. God, someone who's always useful. David Cassidy.
That's not a bad one, is it?
Well, he's always there.
Yeah.
He tends to always be. I think he just sort of says to the universe and Disney, oh, please take me for anything you've got.
Yeah, probably.
But he's always popular.
Yeah, always popular.
With the more mature lady.
Yes.
March 26th, 28th. Starship. Featuring Mickey Thomas.
We know who they are. They're another one, a bit like David Cassidy. Always seem to be there.
Yep. April 2 to April 4, Tony Orlando.
I don't know.
Well, he must be good. He's called Orlando.
Well, yes.
April 9th to 11th, Herman's Hermit. Hermit. That would be the noob.
I've heard of them. They were all right.
And you heard of Herman's Kermit as well.
Herman's Kermit's a fair of them as well, yeah.
April 16th to 18th, Mickey Nelson. Remembered.
Mickey Nelson remembered featuring the Nelsons.
Nelsons. I'm not quite sure with that one.
I don't know where that one goes.
I don't know. I don't know who Mickey Nelson is, and I'm not quite sure why it's featuring the Nelsons remembering Mickey Nelson. April 23rd to 25th, Atlanta Rhythm Section, my favourite.
Are they?
No.
Oh, okay, I don't know that.
No, I think they're just a rhythm section from Atlanta.
Ah.
You think they should have, I don't know, this could be me, I would have space some of these out, to be honest.
Could they not have afforded the other section? It's just the rhythm section they can afford, is that right?
Well, just so that they could put Paul Revere and David Cassidy and Starship all together. Whereas they could have just alternated ones that, I don't know, probably people screaming, going, I know who they are, don't be so stupid. April 30th and May the 2nd, Frank Cosmo, which is former lead singer of Boston, so we all know who Boston are.
Yeah.
May 7th to 9th, Davy Jones, Locker.
Yeah, that's the one. Octopus Man is going to come and sing.
Octopus Man coming.
Yeah.
14th to 16th, Chubby Checker and the Wildcat.
Oh, we know who he is.
Some good ones there.
Cue post on forum for all of the Wikipedia links to bands that we don't know. Thank you to whoever did that last time. I can't remember name was. But they put... So if you go over to our forum, it's not been over. Somebody posted on the forum links to every single band so we knew exactly who everybody was. And I'm more educated now than I was.
No, you're not.
No, I'm not. You're right. Right, God, just carry on with us. Nothing for Hollywood Studios, but we've certainly got some stuff for Animal Kingdom.
Yep, it's the Park Parade, goes back to its original time. Woohoo!
Hey.
I like that. 3:45 for me. You know, I just don't know what it is. It's only parade, I always know what time it is no matter what.
Yeah.
Yeah, all the other parades move. That one, you always go, it's 3:45, that. So it's going back to its original time as of February the 28th, which was yesterday.
Yesterday, yes.
I think it's White Rabbit Day today. There's also tests which happened previously, haven't been announced. So I'm not sure, you know, whether it's going back to original time because they didn't work, or whether they've done a bit of an information gathering to say, is this what we want to do in the summer when it's a bit lighter?
Yeah, that's possible. Well, if we look at some of the other tests that Disney did recently that were along the same lines, with the swapping round of the direction of the Main Street Parade and of what was Spectrum Magic, they sort of changed the direction and have never changed it back. Which to me means that that's obviously worked and they're going to keep it. And it seems strange that they've tested this and then they've just put it back to what it was. Yeah, it could be that it was just an information gathering exercise and they are going to change it. Or it could just be that maybe... we've got the information now with regards to Summer Nightastic that Animal Kingdom's going to be open slightly later. Maybe it was a test for that, for them to work out what time they should put the parade in.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
So I don't know. See what happens. Let's head over to Downtown Disney then. One very quick piece of news. One shop that I could never quite grasp why it existed. Because you have the Planet Hollywood, and you have the store in Planet Hollywood, and then you have Planet Hollywood on location opposite, which is a Planet Hollywood store. And I could never understand why we needed so many stores for Planet Hollywood. Well, it turns out that the Planet Hollywood on location... Am I remember right in thinking that that was the one with the big green alligator thing on top of it?
Yeah, it's a bit naff one, wasn't it?
Well, that's now closed, so it's naff, it's fine, it's gone. They've got rid of that, and it's not reopened as of yet, but there is some rumours or some information as to what may be coming, because all of the windows inside this building have now been covered with large posters which have large Vinylmation figure graphics on it. Now, one of the main stores in Disneyland California's Downtown Disney is a place called D Street, which sells a lot of Vinylmation, that sort of stuff, and it seems that it may just be that we're getting our very own D Street at Downtown Disney.
Yeah, I mean, they're really popular Vinylmation figures now, aren't they?
They are.
A bit pricey, but they're very popular. It's like a collectible again, at the new pins.
Yeah, well, apparently they've got a brand new park series about to come out of these Vinylmations, which includes some Haunted Mansion ones, things like that. So they do seem to be growing, and if they're going to be getting a store that looks like it could be either a Vinylmation store or heavily themed to Vinylmation, then they must be doing extremely well.
Yeah, we've both got one, haven't we?
Yeah.
You know. I think they're quite cool. Probably about the same price, what was it, about $9.99?
Yeah, about that.
So it's not far off the price of one of the fancy pins, is it?
No.
It'd be nice if you can pick which one you want. I don't know. Do you always get a box where you can't decide not allowed to sell what you get? Or?
From what I've seen, with the smaller ones, you often get a box with what you can't see inside. With the larger ones, you are able to see what they are.
All right. Well, Craig should have got the larger one, then.
Yeah, definitely. In that case, that's his next job. Right, let's leave Walt Disney World behind. Let's head over to Disneyland Resort Paris. Oh, we've got a few bits of news, not many. So heading into Disneyland Park, then.
Well, I have to say, it is exceptionally wet.
Yes.
They have been battered seriously. It's about 37 fans this weekend due to the horrendous weather they've had, which, bizarrely enough, I think has come from Florida, come right across, and then picked up in Bay of Biscay and hit France. And Norway, haven't they?
And what I do know is somebody who I work with was over in Disneyland Paris only last week. No, last week, week before. And he said that for the 4 days he was there, three out of the 4 days, the Rivers of America was frozen over.
Wow.
Not completely, but the majority of it. You know, three out of the 4 days, he says, it was absolutely freezing.
This is why some parks don't work in Europe.
Yeah.
Should have been. There was probably a lot of people sometimes going, it should have been Spain.
It should have been Spain. Or Birmingham.
Yeah, that's just. Or Swindon.
Or Swindon. Yeah, I see. They'd have saved all the hassle of having to twin it. They'd have had their own.
It would have already sorted them.
Come on.
Changes to the All Star Express. The short video promoting the All Star Express has been released on YouTube. And released on YouTube. In it, a new piece of concept art shows a possible addition to the current character lineup, including The Incredibles, Monster Inc. characters, and Wally. Do you like that? That's my Wally voice.
What's that?
That's my Wally
Hello.
Voice.
Hello. That's what that sounded like.
No, that sounded like Mr. Bean.
No, yeah, sorry.
But of course, everything can change. So what you see, you sometimes wonder if stuff gets released by certain people to see what people's reaction is, to see what they're going to do about it. But yeah, I mean, I think, you know, Incredibles, but it's very Pixar-ish, isn't it? Everything's Pixar-ish.
Well, next New Generation Festival does seem to be Pixar-centred. The interesting thing about Wall-E, though, is on the video, it shows you Wall-E, and you can actually see the concept art. There's Wall-E on a small truck as part of the sort of express train.
Walk.
But they don't mention him. When Wall-E comes up, they say Sully. So I don't know whether it's a mistake, whether they actually meant Sully, and they've made the video with Wall-E and they're taking him out. Like,
it's
out
with
the video. Yes. It's got Sully, Wally.
And Wally.
Yeah, so there you go. It would be great to see him in the parks, though, because we haven't seen him in Disneyland Paris at all. Not properly. And it would be absolutely fantastic to see Wally in the park. I think it's brilliant. And the actual audio animatronic, the living character initiative that they did of him was fantastic. We just never saw him in Europe.
Perhaps they should make a giant one.
Because
then he wouldn't be as friendly.
You'd fit inside his little dumper truck thing that he's got in his belly. It'd scoop you up and take you away.
It'd be like Ed 209.
Talking about new characters coming to Disneyland Paris, Jack Sparrow may indeed be on the way. Right, again, this is sort of rumours we've been digging in and having a look and finding what they've been saying. But in a recent article in the Daily Telegraph, Christian Silt analysed the recent results of the resort's finances. Now, we know that they haven't had a great financial past few months. But in this article, he also interviews David Minichiello, who is given the title in the article as Disney's Creative Development Director. Now, in the article, Minichiello says the following. Sometimes we will be asked to look at older attractions like Pirates of the Caribbean and freshen them up. Children today grew up with the movies, so putting animatronic characters from the movies in the ride in Florida, and we are looking at doing it here in Paris. So that's all he really says, but what do you think? Do you think, because you are the big Pirates buff between all of us on this show, would putting Jack Sparrow into Disneyland Paris' Pirates of the Caribbean ruin it, or would you welcome the change?
I've got to be careful because I criticise the people today for not moving forward. I could say that because I had the best of both worlds. I had Paris, which is very much true to the old, and then you go across there. On the flip side of it, do you know what? I could see his point. There's a lot of kids who probably go to the Pirates Caribbean ride who haven't been before and sit there and go, hang on, how does that tie into the movie I've seen? So there's no real tie-in now. It's bizarre. No. You made a movie of an attraction which was a massive hit, and now almost the attraction has to be from the movie. You've ended up in a circle.
Yeah, and when I was thinking about this and about them putting Jack Sparrow in, it's actually the way it works. I don't think Jack Sparrow will fit in as well into the story of the Disneyland Paris version as it does the others, because of the fact that the Paris version has a few different scenes and also is run in a different order to the Walt Disney World version.
Exactly. So I think he'd fit in there somewhere.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt he will. And if he does go in, I'm sure they'll do it very well, as they have done with the other parks. But I'm in two minds as to whether I'd quite like just to have a classic version of Pirates in one of the parks I visit, or whether it would be nice to see him updated and included into the Paris parks.
Include him and let him moan about it forever and go, let's go retro. I think things need to change, and I think, you know, we could say that because we go, oh, well, the way it was.
Yeah.
And the flip side of it, you know, Howie, you know, will probably only grow up understanding that the Caribbean was Jack Sparrow and the next movie coming out, so he'd want to attach something to that one.
What are you on about? Harry's been on it so many times. He may only be two, but he's already got, oh, Dad, not again.
No, but let's be honest, he probably says that full stop with you about everything.
That's probably very true as well. Yeah.
Probably his catchphrase.
My only thing is, if you are listening, Disneyland Paris Imagineers, which you're probably not, but you might be, please, if you do put Jack Sparrow in, make sure he has an English voice. I don't know whether it works as well with a French voice.
Was the film ever dubbed, do you know?
Or it will have been, yeah. It'll have been dubbed for the French audience, but I just don't think it will sell as well as if it was Johnny Depp's voice. Just
Johnny Depp could probably do the French voice, though.
He probably could.
Because he's married to Vanessa. Is it Vanessa? Jules Le Taxi Girl.
Oh, Jules Le Taxi, yeah. Her.
Jules Le Taxi.
That's... Just you to pick a key, you can't sing in. Right, let's move on then.
No matter what key I pick, I can't sing. Hence the no karaoke.
Hence the reason why you are doing Disney karaoke at Mouse Meets without fail.
I will be gone by then.
Right, let's head over to Walt Disney Studios there. Now we've got a little bit of news coming from there.
The art of Disney animation is changing. The attraction ever suffered long queues? Yes, it has. And it now seems that Disney has acknowledged that without notice. The park's management has changed the attraction from one that runs continuous to one that runs every half hour, which I think is a crying shame because the attraction ran every 10 minutes. You know, it's bizarre, isn't it? You're almost going, hang on, you're managing the throughput, everything's great. No, there's no queues there. Let's make it once every half hour.
Yeah.
I think it's just bizarre logic. It's somewhere I like to go.
Yeah, it is a bizarre logic, but I also think about what it is. I can understand them having the Art of Disney Animation in MGM in Florida. It makes, well, as it was MGM in Florida, because that at the time when it was there and it was designed to be there as it is, they were creating animation there. I remember going through and watching them animating Lilo and Stitch and all that sort of stuff, and I think Mulan, I saw them animating there as well, and It was a working studio. You could go, and it was one of the highlights of my trip because it would always be, what, I can go and see what it is they're animating next, and I can remember what it looks like, and then I can, when I see the film, I remember them animating that particular scene. But that never really happened in Paris, not properly. They did animate some things in Paris, but the tour was never designed to be a studio tour for you to see the working animators working through. And actually, the space that they've used for the Art of Animation tour is massive. You could fit an attraction on the site, and I've never, it literally has been picked up and dumped as a carbon copy of what you get in Orlando, and for me, I don't quite understand why it's there.
I think there's a love of animation, isn't it? And I think you need to show people about how it's animated, especially the old school drawing animation. So I like it. I think it's a, what we call an edutainment type thing, and something that people can go, wow, look up to, and probably for kids' aspects, it is something they might want to achieve. They're the future animators.
I like the post show. Don't get me wrong, I love the post show, and I love the animation class that you can get at the end. And one of the nice things is the fact that if you get there early enough, you can get one of the drawings that the animator draws. They give them away. But it's just that the Mulan section with that animator that isn't an animator and never has been, and they tried to do that interaction with Mulan, that sort of stuff.
I just
think it's just old now, and it just needs either updating or getting rid of.
Oh, I don't know. Oh, we're going to disagree. We're going to fall out here.
Okay, fine. We'll move on.
It's in Mulan.
Yes, we'll move on. Here we go. Toy Story Playland, then. They are building it still. They've not announced it, but they are building it. There's some more bits and pieces starting to go onto the Green Army Men parachute, but also the RC racer track has begun to rise above those construction walls. This orange-coloured track is in a U-sort of shape. And, you know, I was a bit... When I first heard about it, I thought to myself, is it going to be one of these sort of tame sort of coasters where, although it's in that U sort of shape, the U isn't going to go up very high? Well, I tell you what, looking at the coaster, it's going to be a pretty big drop from the top going all the way through and back to the other side. This bright orange track certainly does stand out and certainly will stand out. But I'm beginning to get quite excited about this. To start off with, I was like, well, it's going to be some kiddie rides. It's not going to look that great. But then I keep looking at the concept art, and the more and more of the concept art I look at, and the more the detail I keep looking at, I'm actually looking forward to this beginning to be built and for me to go and experience it.
Like anything that the studio is just good, isn't it? An expansion of it all. And, but no, I know what you mean. I think they're obviously going to put a lot of work into it. The artwork looks exceptionally good. Like, I'm always looking forward to sort of the new sort of expansion plans. And I think it's going to be a massive hit and make that park a bit more of a day park.
Yeah,
keep people in there longer.
Yeah, I completely agree. Because if you think about the attractions that there are, and if you want to ride those, and they don't look like they're going to be very fast-loading attractions, it means that you're going to have to queue a little bit longer. It means you're going to be in the park a little bit longer. Or maybe it means that we'll start to see later opening hours for the studios, and it will become, hopefully, a full-day park.
Hopefully we can all get on Crush in less than 60 minutes.
That's never going to happen. Right, let's head over to Disney Village then. Our last piece of news.
Hurricanes has closed by the time the show comes out. There's still no news on its replacement or, you know, why the closure came early, apart from it's obviously not doing that good of business for them to go, let's close it actually full calendar month before we said we were going to and get away with it, which means perhaps the closure is down to the fact that nobody was actually going anymore.
No, they don't seem to be, because they had the cast member nights, which apparently were quite busy, and there was one night which they had ladies' night, which I always thought was a bit wrong in a Disney park, but there you go. And I think that was about it, wasn't it? And it doesn't seem to be much going on in there at all anymore.
All gone,
goodbye. Something new hopefully coming in soon, which we'll find out a little bit about. Then my other thought for the reason of it closing early is what happens if there's a company that have said, we want that space, but the problem is, we want that space and we want it open by the summer. So that means you need to close it earlier.
Perhaps so.
So that might also be something
that's happening. It's a competing coffee shop against Starbucks.
And what is it going to be? Juzzbooks.
Nero. Isn't Nero the competition?
Nero and Nero? Costa Coffee as well.
Costa Coffee. Any of them. Take on the Starbucks and crush them.
Are Disney really going to allow a second coffee company in? Do you not think Starbucks are going to have got something in a contract to say they can be the only new coffee company for X amount of years?
I hope not. I just hope it's something character related.
It would be nice if it was something character related to see something a bit different there. But we'll see what happens. It's a fairly decent sized space, so they've certainly got a lot of room to put something nice in there.
Princess Tiana.
Yeah, could be, you never know.
Don't want it, but that's the in thing, isn't it?
It seems to be at the moment. Well, with the film only really just coming out on DVD over here, at the cinema over here, and having just come out on DVD in America, it's proven to be very popular. And, you know, it really is, in my opinion, the return of the classic Disney animation. So there's no reason why it couldn't be anything Tiana related. Right, there we go. That's the news. Good grief, we got through that quick. It's because Craig wasn't here. Hi, Craig. Right, there we go. That's the news. So let's move on with the show.
Attraction Tickets Direct is the UK's number one ticket provider for Disney, Universal, and the worlds of Discovery Parks. They offer unbeatable prices and expert advice on all the major tickets and attractions in Orlando, California, and Paris. The service Attraction Tickets Direct provides is second to none. Lines are open 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. 7 days a week. Customers receive real tickets, not vouchers, within 7 days. And there are no hidden extras, such as credit card fees or postage surcharges. Now that's what you call great service. Log on to www.attractionticketsdirect.com or call free on 0800-975-0002.
Join me at the end of day 19 of my audio diary out here in Walt Disney World in Orlando. I want to tell you about the things that have been going on today. Had quite an action-packed day today. Starting off this morning, five past ten, seating at Chef Mickey's at the bottom of the Contemporary Resort. Running a little bit behind on time, which meant we didn't actually get seated till around half ten, which actually wasn't a bad thing. It actually means that it was getting very close to the swap over between breakfast and lunch. And because of that, it was quite quiet. The opportunity of it being quite quiet meant that the characters came around a lot quicker, which was really, really good. And also it meant we got a little bit of breakfast and we got a little bit of lunch. So I suppose a bit of a brunch. So if you are thinking about, you know, not necessarily going to a character breakfast early, then certainly that time of day is a great time to be able to go to really enjoy the characters and to be able to enjoy the food. We left there and we made our way over to Blizzard Beach. One thing to note, actually, that because we went to the Contemporary for breakfast that morning at Chef Mickey's, the security guard that we spoke to actually said that we were able to leave the car there for the rest of the day and head into the Magic Kingdom if we wanted to. But obviously we weren't heading into the Magic Kingdom that day. So that's also something to think about, that maybe if you are going to have breakfast at somewhere like Chef Mickey's, schedule a day at one of the water parks you can get, or sorry, the theme parks you can get to via monorail, and you don't have to pay the $12 if you are driving. We headed over to Blizzard Beach. We arrived there around about 12, quarter past 12. Reasonably quiet, obviously the time of year that it is. Not a lot of people are going over to the water parks themselves. And we tried to find ourselves somewhere to sit. And obviously being later in the day, we couldn't go to, you know, there was a lot of seats taken, so we couldn't really go too close to the main pool. But what we found is actually the Tykes Peak area, the kids area, for really the little children. There were loads and loads of spaces around there. So if you do arrive later in the day, it just seemed to be that the little kids play area is a lot quieter than the rest of them. So we hung around there probably 4 or so hours, around about 4:30. I left some of the other guys behind because I was heading over to the Indy Racing Experience. You will hear a little bit more about the Indy Racing Experience on the podcast later on if you've not heard about it already. And what we are actually doing is covering that as part of a future edition. So I arrived there about 5:00, had to sign a million waivers. Obviously, it can be quite dangerous. Please do check, though, if you are thinking about doing the Indy Racing Experience, that you are covered on your insurance. That is extremely important, just in case anything, unlikely that it will be, but anything happens, do make sure you've checked your insurance first. So we arrived there, signed all the forms, got myself suited up, full on fire suit, shoes, head sock, helmet, things like that. Went through the proper safety briefing. But one of the problems with the Indy Racing Experience is that if it rains, and it rains later on in the day, the track needs to completely dry out before they will allow you out in the cars. Now, unfortunately, as I was there, I'd been through my safety briefing, I'd got my suit on, I was getting in the car, they were strapping me in, ready to drive it off, and the rain started. And it was around 5:30, and the track would never have dried in time. So unfortunately, I didn't actually get to drive the Indy racing car, but I'm going back again on Friday, where hopefully I will get the opportunity to drive the race car round the Walt Disney World Speedway, and I will, of course, let you know a little bit about that. So that sort of came to an abrupt end. Unfortunately, we headed back to our villa for a bit of a rest before going out this evening to Downtown Disney, where we had the opportunity to go and watch Cirque du Soleil. Now, I've seen Cirque du Soleil a few times before, but we went with some people who had never seen it before, and we sat this time in the category, I think it's category 3 seating, which is about $74 a ticket. To be honest, although we were further back, I think it's better to sit further back because you can see a lot more, because a lot of stuff goes on in the air. If you're sat really, really close, you've got to crane your neck upwards and don't necessarily get as good a view as you do if you're sat further back. So my advice would be, if you're going to see Cirque du Soleil, do go and sit further back in the cheaper seating, because it's a lot better than it is sitting forwards. We enjoyed Cirque du Soleil. It was, again, excellent show, as always. They have changed around some of the performers, and I think, actually, some of the performers were excellent. The clowns always make me laugh. But do look out for the 4 white mime artists, that sort of face-painted white costume. I can watch them all day. They are absolutely amazing. They are really, really good. So well worth going to see that. I had a bit of a sale on in the shop at Cirque du Soleil, so of course I went in there and could not resist. And then we came home, arrived home around about 11:30. So that is the end of this audio diary. We are off to Busch Gardens tomorrow, so I'll give you a little bit of a sort of roundup of how our Busch Gardens day went.
Welcome to the fourth edition of our Around the World in 80 segments. We are still hanging about in Adventureland like a bad smell. Well, Juz is anyway. We're going to talk to you this time about our dining and shopping options within Adventureland. You know, when we were researching this, I didn't realise just how little dining and shopping there really was in Adventureland. There's a lot less than I thought.
Yeah, it's one of those areas where you shoot through and you think there's more there than there is, but no, it's bizarre. It's almost shut up for a little bit for the corridor it is.
Yeah, definitely. But there was sort of one element to Adventureland that opened last year and has proved to be very, very popular. And I'm really pleased to see that it's there, because we've got Bibbidi Bobbidi boutiques in the castle. We've got one, it's really difficult to say that, isn't it? We've got one in downtown Disney as well. And then Disney said, we're going to open something called the Pirate League, of which they put in Adventureland. It's right by Pirates of the Caribbean. And it is a bit like the Bibbidi Bobbidi, but for boys, girls can go as well, and also adults. And you can go along and be dressed up like a pirate and get the whole experience. And it's got this doorway that's, I can't remember whether it's to the left or the right of Pirates of the Caribbean now, off the top of my head. I think it's to the right. And you can only obviously go in there if you're going to be taking part in the Pirates thing. But there are three levels that you can go in and do. You can have the first mate package, which is $49.95 plus tax. You get a reversible bandana, a choice of facial effects that include a facial effect look of either a cursed pirate, Captain Hook, or Captain Jack. You get fake teeth, and you get one 5x7 picture. Now, the Empress package, which is obviously for girls, is the same price, $49.95. They get a bandana, they get shimmering makeup, they get face gel and nail polish, and they also get a photo. Or, if you really want to push the boat out, you can go for the Captain's package. This is $124.95 plus tax. You get a choice of a pirate costume. You also get the Cursed Pirate, Captain Hook, or Captain Jack facial effects, fake teeth, and three 5x7 pictures. It's a great little place for you to go to with those boys that just absolutely love pirates, and with it being such a massive thing. Reservations can be made at 407 WDW Crew. Theme park admission is, of course, required to go in there. It's open 7 days a week from 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. and is ages 3 and up, and adults, as I've said, are welcome too. Isn't this a great little thing that a lot of people don't necessarily know about?
Yes and no. Yes, it's a great little thing. I think it's very expensive.
Yeah, I must admit it's not cheap, but look at Bibbidi Bobbidi. It's no more expensive than that is. I don't know if...
That's a girl thing, isn't it? I don't mind spending the money on the girl thing. Let's get a lot more out of it. Just go to Walmart and spend $5. I see where you're coming from, but I just think it's a little bit cheaper. $10 cheaper or $20 cheaper than the big boss.
Yeah, I must admit, $125 is a lot of money, plus you got your tax on top of that. But if my little boy, if Harry was really, really into pirates, I'd be really hard-pressed to say no and to really want to take him, because I just think it'd be so magical for him to be able to go and try that out and give it a go.
Yeah.
If you have experienced it, or if you've got someone who has experienced this, please let us know, because certainly have not. But be interested to hear what you think, whether you think that $124.95 is a lot of money for the captain's package. It is a lot of money, but, you know, there may be more to it than we know about that may make it worth the money. Mm-hmm. Right, let's head into what we got food-wise then, and I'm going to butcher this. We're going to the first little restaurant area, which is El Pirata y El Perico.
Sounds good.
It wasn't bad, was it? It's only open seasonally, but it is inside Adventureland. They have beef tacos, vegetarian tacos, taco salad. They have cakes in there as well. They have kids' meals and your normal beverages, including your hot drinks. Have you ever eaten in here?
I love it here. The taco salad bowl. Oh, massive fried tortilla with the beef inside.
Yeah.
And you go and get all the condiments separately, so you can real pile up the cheese and stuff is all separate.
Yeah.
I love it. Kids love it. I love it. It's great. If you go to the back, it's quite quiet as well sometimes.
Yeah, it is usually. And I really enjoyed the beef taco. I had the beef tacos last time I was there, and it just tasted really, really good.
Mm.
The taco salad, yeah, that does come with beef, so it's not just a salad. Beef tacos, you're looking at between about $5.99. Taco salad is about $7.39.
It's a huge tortilla bowl.
It is massive. The amount of food you get there is phenomenal. And as you say, because it's a seasonal thing, a lot of people who go and go regularly, because they know it's seasonal, don't always head there straight away. It's not their first choice. But when it is open, and it is a fairly It's a fairly large place, seated place, yeah. Isn't it? So you can go right to the back. It can be very, very quiet. The Sunshine Tree Terrace. Again, this is more seasonal than not. It's open a lot of the time, but this is situated right by the fly carpets, all those sort of things there. These do very much your snacks and all those bits and pieces. You can get crisps or chips, as Americans call them, cookies, citrus swirl, soft ice cream as well. You can get floats from here, but they're not quite the same as one of my favourite things to have in Walt Disney World, which we'll come to in a second. You can get iced cappuccinos, slushies, all those sort of things. It's just really snacks and drinks. But there is one place that I think is possibly one of my favourite places in the whole of the Magic Kingdom, and that is a lower aisle, of which has your normal standard stuff. It has Cokes and beer, root beer floats, your waters, your hot drinks, your cold drinks. It also has crisps. You can get here, and this is a really interesting one, fresh cut pineapple spears, which I thought was always a bizarre but yet quite tasty sort of snack that you can get. But you can also get the most amazing Dole Whips from a lower aisle. And so, explain a little bit to people what Dole Whip and Dole Whip floats are for those people who've never had them before.
That is it. That. Can I have another one, please?
Yeah. It really is.
It's hard to describe apart from the most delicious ice cream in the world, pineapple ice cream that you wouldn't think normally. And it's fun. I mean, the floats are out of this world.
Yeah.
I tend to have. Of course, what I tend to have is a drink, which is a float, and then I have a pudding, which is the actual ice cream, Dole Whip itself.
Yeah, you just have Dole Whip for itself. They do the pineapple, vanilla, chocolate, and swirl ice creams. That's $2.89. Pineapple floats, $3.99. But these things are good, and they're not small either. I was in Magic Kingdom in the summer when it was extremely hot. We just finished the Disney Brits sort of meet in the park. I think I just left Craig and those guys. They'd gone off to Splash or something like that. And I was heading out the park. I was going to meet my family over at Typhoon Lagoon. And I walked through Adventureland and I picked up a pineapple float and I sort of started to eat it and a bit quicker. And by the time I had reached the bottom of Main Street, the ice cream had gone. And by the time I'd got onto the monorail, the pineapple juice had gone as well. These things are massive, but they are so good. And on a cold day as well, they're absolutely phenomenal.
Last time we were at California Grill, which is a very expensive, posh restaurant, we didn't have pudding there. We just looked at each other and said, Dole Whip. just had a Dole Whip.
But they are fantastic. And they, you know, even just that pineapple juice as well, it just tastes so, so good.
Now I'm on.
But if you've never been to the lower aisle, you've never had one, you know, if you're in the hub, as you go from Main Street, you walk down, you're in the hub, you go left, you go over the bridge into Adventureland, and as you get, there's a sort of smoking area on the left, and on the right-hand side, as you walk up that way, that is where the lower aisle is, and you must, even if you have one, you must get yourself a dog.
Look for the queue.
Yes, look for the very big queue and the very, very small hut. The reason there's a big queue is not because there's a lot of people, it's because they have these industrial sized fans inside there, and they're so strong you can't actually get anywhere near the counter without having some sort of challenge to get there. They have these massive fans that every time you got close you just felt like you're going to be blown away, and the poor people who are actually in there.
What does puzzle me is the size of it. For something which is world renowned, is in one of the smallest little huts there is, with three serving windows.
It really is. It really is tiny. And there's probably, I think it's either three or four servers maximum in there. But if you do see the queue and you do fancy one and you say to yourself, oh, don't worry, we'll get one in Animal Kingdom or we'll get one in Hollywood Studios, you can't get them. There's only two places in the whole of Walt Disney World you can get these. You can get them in Adventureland and you can get them in, I think it's, is it called Captain Hook's in the Polynesian? They are the only two places you can get them in Walt Disney World. I may be wrong on that. Someone may prove me wrong, but I'm pretty certain that is correct.
So, I'm with you on that.
We've just done a whole segment on Dole Whips. Forget Adventureland.
So good.
Another interesting one, and I don't know whether this is still there, and I don't think it is. Has the egg roll cart now gone from Adventureland?
You were last one there. I'm not blaming you.
It's your fault. I don't remember seeing it. I think it's gone. And I think I remember hearing in some news somewhere that the egg roll cart had now gone. But the egg rolls there were great. So they've now gone. So, sorry. You can't eat that because it's not there anymore.
Not there.
shopping, very, very quick shopping. There are three shops within Adventureland. There's the Pirate Bazaar, which is right where basically, you know, as they say, when you go to Walt Disney World, every ride exits into a shop. Well, this is the shop that Pirates of the Caribbean exits out into. It's got T-shirts, postcards, pirates hats, shirts, the lot. You name it, pirate, you can get it, can't you?
It's a great shop. One of the best shops around. The only thing is, when it rains, for some reason, the water runs in there, so it becomes quite slippery because it's all on stone.
It sort of reminds me of a bit like a market, almost, in the way that it's in it.
Very much so.
That bizarre sort of feel. But I just feel a bit, not claustrophobic, but it just feels a bit cluttered to me. When you go in, and there's a lot of space when you're in there.
It's a boy's dream. I mean, the problem is, this is exactly it. It's like what everyone does like we do is you get all the bits you need for the pirate outfit. You put them on, you take a picture there and then put it all back and never buy it.
There's also
that's
a really
not
nice...
just me who does that.
No, that's true, it's not. There's also a nice little fountain in the middle of there as well, of which I certainly, with my son, they were all doing some shopping for something. I was like, right, let's go and play in the water. So there's a nice little fountain to keep the little ones happy while everybody's shopping as well.
And the toilets are right next door.
The toilets are right next door.
You can. It's a big shop, so everyone can disappear in between, look after kids, and still look around the shop.
That's very, very true. That's a good point. There's also the Agrabah Bazaar, which is up by the Flying Carpets of Aladdin. No, hang on, not Flying Carpets of Aladdin. No, I'm right. It's up by there. Oh, my word, it's been a long day. Where there's, again, an open-air market idea, a lot of Middle Eastern clothing, costumes, souvenirs, things like that. Really nice themed area. In fact, there's... one of the sort of themes they used at the time when it was first opened, when they first opened that Agrabah bit, is they took merchandise from the actual shops and they trod them into the pavement, almost as if it was that thieves had taken them from the shops and dropped on the way out and they'd been trampled in. They don't obviously sell the same merchandise now, but it was nice. They had that sort of continuous theme for some of the shopping there as well when it originally opened.
It's a nice area. Out of all of it, because I said about the rides at the time, not my favourite, but the actual shop I think is really good. So great Indiana Jones hat that Tracy never lets me have.
Yeah, that's true, because you sort of forget they have some Indiana Jones stuff over there as well, that jungly sort of theme.
Mm-hmm.
One other thing, which is the Island Supply Company, surfing gear, island apparel, sunglasses, that sort of stuff. I always go in here and I always wonder why, because none of it's really Disney themed. A lot of it is your branded stuff, the branded gull and all that sort of surf wear. There are a few bits and pieces that are surfing gear with Disney stuff on it, but I always it's one of those shops where you think, I'm not quite sure why you've got all this non-Disney stuff in this shop in Disney in a park. I can understand it place like Downtown Disney, but it's interesting. It's only a small shop, but it's got lots of stuff in there. Good for sunglasses, I will give them that.
I'll give you that. I mean, we've not discussed this beforehand. I'm 100% with you there. You've got Pirates, you've got Agrabah, and then you get that, which to me looks like a shop you find in a mall, and I never understood it.
Yeah, it is exactly that. But they do have good sunglasses in there. We've certainly bought sunglasses from there before, and they were reasonably cheap. Well, that's it. Very, very short segment. Not very much at all within Adventureland for dining and shopping. If you've got any other bits and pieces you want to add about that, do go over to the forums, disneybrit.com/forum, and add your comments on the Disney Brit podcast section. But then when we return next time, something tells me it's going to be a little bit longer, because we're going to be heading over to, I think, one of yours and one of my favourite lands. And that's Frontierland. Then hear the tom-tom's loudest thunder. It's moving me. Sounds a lot like being free. When you feel the jungle rhythm. Feel the jungle rhythm. Flexible, simple, value, secure, honest, and trusted. They are some of the words that people think of when they book their Orlando holiday. And they are exactly the same words that people associate with CompleteOrlando.co.uk. With staff available 7 days a week, there are no better people to use. Contact the Orlando experts on 0800-294-8844 or visit www.CompleteOrlando.co.uk. We talked to a lot of people on the forums, we talked to a lot of people on Facebook, and there was a piece of news that I purposely missed out of our news section, which prompted this almost impromptu segment, which is that Virgin have released their 2011 early booking prices for trips out to Walt Disney World. And I decided that I was going to have a look and see just what sort of money Virgin are charging for 2011, ready for my trip out there in the summer of 2011. So I went on, I priced up a family of three, two adults and one child who would be aged four, for 2 weeks in Pop Century, went for Value Resort, flying from Manchester, and it came in at a whopping £3,439.
That early
early booking discount. So I priced up exactly the same holiday for DIY. Now, bearing in mind, DIY at the moment, you can only do 2010. It's too early for 2011. But I priced it up, and then what I did was, well, I thought to myself, I'm probably going to need to add maybe £100, £200 on top of that for inflation, etc. But I was still able to find it a trip for £1,100 cheaper than Virgin were offering for 2011 by doing it myself. And that prompted me to think, when I put my Facebook comment up about that, that people were saying, do DIY, etc. And some people were saying, well, I don't really know how to do DIY. I don't really understand how to do that. So we said, would people benefit from us doing a segment on do-it-yourself holidays to Orlando? I know we did something similar back in June of last year. We did a DIY versus travel agent. So what we wanted to do is to talk you through the how to book your do-it-yourself Orlando holiday. So, Juz, why don't you start us off?
Yeah, can I also point out that he purposely left off that bit of news about Virgin but didn't tell me.
Oh, sorry.
So that's why I got confused at the beginning of the news, if you wondered why there was a pause, because there was a piece of news that I wasn't sure if I was meant to say it or not.
Blame me. It's all my fault. It's all fine.
But now you look back, you agree.
Yes, I agree, yes.
Thank you. So where do you want to take this? Or just make to mention what I did as well, and then we can start breaking down.
Yeah, I think we just talk about how we do it, about some of the things that people need to consider, etc., and see where we go, really.
Okay, well, one of the things I first of all say is I did the same as Adam today. I did a Virgin one, but I decided to go this year. I decided that I was going for 21 days instead of Adam's 2 weeks. I also was horrified to find out that my eldest is now an adult. So we lost a lot of our discount. I didn't use any frequent flyer. I used that 10% online booking discount.
Yeah.
And it came to £8,635.50.
Wow.
Just saying off-site, by the way, because I don't do on-site with Virgin. I always do the off-site.
Right.
Because it's meant to work out cheaper.
Yeah.
And that was including, then I got a discount of £572, which took me down to £8,000. Because you got the online discount. I thought, well, let me try and fly drive this and get rid of my hotel. Because what we have done in the past, you've got to be really careful. Sometimes booking with Virgin with a hotel actually works out cheaper than fly drive.
Yeah.
You just have to be really careful at this because they get kickbacks. And my fly drive price was £7,104. So.
Right.
I can never afford unless I'm a millionaire.
No.
And I'm not, so I can't. So my 21 day, I sat there, oh, what am I going to do here? So, first of all, we need to break things down. All right, we need to make sure we need to know how we're going to get there.
Yep.
How we're going to get around the place once we get there.
Yep.
Where we're going to stay. And that they're the three things that you need to break down into your DIY.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is why it's three letters, DIY. Is the fact that once you've broken that down, which is very simple, at the end of the day, you know, you're going out to, you know, even up the road or whatever to Lake District, let's say, you'd have to work out how you're going to get there, you know, how you're going to move around, where you're going to stay. So, and people wouldn't think twice about doing that DIY.
No.
You book a Butlins resort, you don't think about your travel because you've already figured out you're doing that yourself.
Yeah.
It's trying to stop people being that scared. So, start off, I suppose, both of us, airfares, wasn't it?
Yes. And
there's probably two different logics here. One is my kids are slightly older, so I am happy with the stopover, which knocks my price right down. Whereas I presume, Adam, would you go for the direct route?
Not necessarily. I think it would depend on how long the stopover is. But it's certainly, if you've got that stopover at any point, even if it's a couple of hours, it doesn't half bring the price down of your flight, rather than going direct. But stopovers can be anything from when I was looking into it, I could get a stopover that was 2 hours, I could get a stopover that was 10 hours, and I could get a stopover that was overnight.
Yeah. And, you know, one of the biggest stopover places for Florida from the UK is New York.
New York or Washington, I've done as well.
Yes. both of which, you do start thinking, what did you do to send a holiday? Or do you just stop over? I mean, the ones I looked at straight away, I used wefly.co.uk.
Yeah.
And it came out, because they're all adults, white kids, you have to put them against the plane, $2,500 to fly across, stop over at New York for 2.5 hours, and then fly on to, not Stanford, it was Orlando Airport, which I was happy about. You know, with that, because if that happened for, even with delays, we should be able to flip around that. Would you be comfortable with that?
Yeah, that should be okay. Even if there is delays and it's the airline's fault, then you get the bit of leeway there anyway. They're able to get you on another flight.
Yeah, so I was happy with that, and I've already said, right, that's $3,500 out of my $8,000 gone. And this is my biggest chunk. My biggest chunk is getting five of us over to America.
Yeah, that is the biggest chunk, though, isn't it? That is, for me as well, the most expensive part of the holiday is those flights. I think if you can get cheap flights to America, that really is what determines where most of your budget goes.
Yeah, most definitely. You know, sometimes the last minute flight. And bearing in mind, I've gone peak because I still suffer that terrible thing where I have kids in school and I'm not like these people who go, oh, we went across there for £25 in the middle of school term.
Yeah, I'm the same.
I'm looking forward to those days. I mean, I remember when the World Cup was on, the Travel City Direct, God bless it, so did £34 flights to Orlando because Norm was moving.
Yeah, completely.
So I'm over there now, and I know that $3,500 of my budget's gone. And do you know what? I think I could have gone cheaper, and I think I could have gone for a direct route. But this was something I was doing at lunchtime today. Very short space of time. I think most people will be planning a bit more like that. And I think you were the same. You're just doing it today in lunch, wasn't it?
And I think we have to make it very, very clear to people that although do-it-yourself can work out a lot cheaper, it is by no means the quickest way to book your holiday. There is needs to be a lot of time invested into researching and number crunching and all that sort of stuff. You know, really thinking very carefully about, okay, what about this combination? What about this combination? It does take a lot of time, and you really need to be planning your holiday well out to be able to get the best DIY deal you can.
Yeah, and I'm quite happy there as well to add another £100 on to cover my insurance, because what you might have heard is companies have gone bust. You can't buy additional insurance. It's around £100 that will cover you, same as Atoll function. If that airline ever went bust, you get all your money back.
Yeah.
So don't always rely on your credit cards, because I'm not quite sure how that all works. This is where you miss Craig.
I thought about that, and I thought Craig, he probably won't be here, so I had a look into it, and there's something called Section 75 which does support you. Basically, if you book over £100 on your credit card, then this Section 75 protection covers you. Visa cards can cover you, but you have to contact your card issuer first just to confirm whether they do or not.
There you go. Okay. Then we've got to decide what we're doing. So I'm staying off-site. I've just already decided that.
Yeah.
You might be staying on-site. I don't know. So I know I need a car.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't have much time. It's only lunchtime. I went to usrentacar.co.uk simply because they have an advert on the Ian Orlando site. So I thought, give them a try first. I might shop around and find something different. But for 22 days, £411. And that's for the sort of the premium edge package through budget. For a larger, I could have got a smaller car, but it wouldn't have fitted. That's a nice four-door size car and enough to carry our luggage. So £411, I thought that was pretty reasonable.
Yeah, there's plenty of options as well when you're looking for a car hire. Obviously, try all of the different car hire companies. Try things like Travel Supermarket, comparethemarket.com, try those people. Also, if you're the sort of person who buys every guidebook going, look through the guidebooks, because quite often they will recommend car hire companies. They will also, with some of them, have coupons in there for discount vouchers, so 10-15% off car hire. So they're always well worth looking through as well to see whether you can get things there. But again, you know, look through as many options as you can to find out which is your cheaper option.
And bang on, the whole point of this is, I think personally, it's fun.
Yeah,
I'd love to sit down. I love doing this and sitting down. It might take weeks, or it might go cross checking everything. And Tracy goes and cross checks. She'll come back with this, and I'll come back with this. And it tends to be an absolutely amazing part of our trip doing this.
It's all part of the fun of planning, isn't it? And it's that whole, you know, oh, I could stay here, we could try this, and then I get to the point where this is a little more expensive than this, and you go for the pros and cons of the different hotels or the different airlines, etc. And it is all part of the fun of planning your own holiday. Yeah.
So basically I'm at $4,000 now, so I'm half the price of Virgin at the moment. One of my stumbling blocks I did think today was I'm not going to get my accommodation as cheap as Virgin can.
No.
And bearing in mind, remember that Virgin was about £1,000 a charge for the accommodation. Was it £1,000? Yeah, about £1,000 for the accommodation. So I thought, I'm going to be paying double that because Virgin should get the discount. Once again, I didn't spend a lot of time with this. I only went to one site, which is Travel Supermarket. Mm-hmm. I didn't go to Hotels.com, Expedia. There's several that I could have gone to. And I went there. What I wanted was, it had to be a suite. I fancied a suite. Because I'd go and go posh. I've still got £4,000 in my budget. And I wanted breakfast.
Okay.
You know, I've gone over there, and the advantage with them done breakfast is we either take it or we leave it.
Yep.
But it's there if we want it. It's also one of the great sources of snack food, because if you... I don't think it's stealing, it's not stealing. If you get one of the little plastic cups that they do coffee in and put their Fruit Loops in, they make a great snack while waiting in queues with the kids.
Definitely.
You put sugar in, but... So, I rooted
around...
Well,
with your Dole Whip, yeah.
Do you know what? That'd be really nice.
Oh, do you imagine? Sprinkled on top. Anyway, moving on.
Sorry. So I went around and Travel Supermarket. I was a bit limited at first, and I got about 1,500 for what I wanted. I managed to get down to £1,000 for 22 days.
Wow.
This is in two triple rooms with suites. So this is two triples. We're splitting ourselves up because we're five. And five, had I known in the past that five was going to be the most awkward number to travel with, I would have stopped at four.
You're going to tell your youngest that he's caused problems with the travel plans, or shall I?
We do. We just make him go sit on the own and do I. Off you go. Youngest goes out. So I got £1,000. That worked out. So like the Continental Plaza on Orlando International Drive. So I'm right opposite Wet n Wild, near Universal and all that area. £1,000 included my breakfast as well. So I come in at £5,000 to do it myself compared to £8,063.21.
So you're looking at a difference of £3,000.
Yeah.
Which is a phenomenal amount of money. I'd love to know just what happens to that £3,000. It's
the pretzels you get on the airplane.
It's just an immense amount. £3,000 is so much. Okay, so you can see just how much money you can save when you're doing it that way. Let me give you some tips about this whole how to DIY. Like I've said, do your research. That is one of the most important things. One of the things that I quite often do is I go to several holiday companies. I go to people like Virgin. I go to Thomson. Got our friends at... KeyToTheKingdom.co.uk, who are now around. Complete Orlando, one of our sponsors. I go to all of these people and I get quotes from everybody for exactly the same holiday. And I put them into my spreadsheet or whatever I have, okay? I then know roughly what the difference in prices are that I've got. Now, I then need to think about my breakdown, as you've talked about. My car hire, my hotel, my tickets, my flights, and my insurance. If you haven't got insurance, we're lucky we've got it through our bank account, but some people obviously don't. It's one of the last things they think of, because quite often you get your insurance bundled in. So I start off with my flight, and I look at this idea of an indirect flight. So I think to myself, okay, can we find something that has a stopover, or some people have two stopovers? I looked at one flight today that was £300 cheaper than any other flight I'd found, but you had to fly from Manchester to Rome, and then from Rome to Atlanta, and then from Atlanta to Orlando.
Oh,
that is probably taking it a bit too far, but it can be done. Other thing I thought about as well, we're quite lucky is that we have quite a few friends who will take us to the airport, so we don't have to drop a car off, we don't have to pay for parking. If you've got the same situation, why not look at doing one-way flights? Because sometimes you can find some cheap flights. So it may be that you fly from Manchester to Sanford on the way out, and then you fly from Orlando International to London or Birmingham on the way in. Because sometimes it can work out cheaper. Look at it as an option. It certainly can work. So you look at, we're looking probably a year in advance. It's around, if I'm looking for an August, flights come out around a May sort of time. That's the time when I want to start really thinking about it. But you can look a year in advance. Do some research. So if you're looking now for 2011, so take a look and look at the prices and think, okay, I'm probably looking at roughly about that. Maybe because we're getting closer, £100, maybe more expensive or cheaper. Just to get a rough estimate. Also, as I've said, use people like TravelSupermarket.com, CompareTheMarket.com, websites like that, who go through an array of websites for you without you having to. Like wefly.co.uk, I find are one of the cheapest for flights. Are really, really good with things like that. But also, play companies off of each other. And there's nothing wrong with this. It's almost like bartering. And people are really afraid to do this because they think, well, if that's what the company's offering, that must be exactly what we're going to do it for. I booked a cruise about 3 years ago, and I had two companies who were offering me prices for the cruise, basically. And what I'd do is I'd go to one company and say, how much are you offering me for? They give me a price. I'd then go to the other company and say, this company are offering me this much. And then I'd go to another company and say, this company are offering me this much. And in the end, I managed to get £400 off of our cruise just because I was ringing between the two companies and bartering with them. Do the same thing with some companies or some flights. If you're going to ring up and speak to somebody over the phone with flights, say, well, actually, these are offering your same flight for this price. And you may find that some people will actually budge with that and may well, you know, give you a bit of money off. It's worth a try. They can only say no. We talked about Atoll and Abtur, make sure they're protected with things like that. One other thing to help with DIY that you can use to your advantage and can help get cheaper flights, cheaper hotels, is money websites like Quidco or iPoints, which give you points, or cashback. Quidco certainly do it with flights. So you might find that you find a flight, you can get so much money back, and you might end up with £100 in your back pocket because you use the site like that. So do go and check people's like Quidco and see what they're offering on different flight companies and recce that into your cost for your flights or your hotels and things like that. One of the beauties of DIY is that you can be really, really flexible with your dates. You don't have to go for a set 7 or 14 days, as you quite often have to do with package holidays. You can go for 11 nights, you can go for 15 or 16 nights, and there won't be any sort of supplementary charge for that. And again, if you go on days other than weekends or odd days, it might help bring down the price of tickets for your flights and things like that as well. Do you use US websites when you're booking things, Jez?
I was going to just touch on this, actually. There's also the semi-DIY, which we've done in the past.
Yeah.
Which is, if you're going to go somewhere fancy, and I don't mean necessarily, if you're going on Disney property or Universal property, Virgin tends to charge you a lot more than they need to charge you. Now, what we have done often in the past is book a trip with Virgin, but book for the cheapest hotel we can possibly get. Our hotel sourcing at that point, you know, because as I said, sometimes the hotels are cheaper than the fly drive.
Yeah.
And go to the American sites, or even Disney's own site, Universal's own site, or an American hotel site, and book my stay in the Disney hotels then. Because what we often do is park hop.
Yeah.
So we'll book Hard Rock for 2 or 3 days. We then go to do a couple of Disney parks. We might even go back to the hotel where we originally meant to be, as long as you booked in first, because they're not going to any room, and pop back there for a day and then disappear back out. And this can actually work out a lot cheaper than booking, let's say, Pop Century, or certainly never book something like Wilderness Lodge or anywhere like that through Virgin, because you just can't afford it, and break it up. So you go, actually, the great thing is, if you go Disney property and you want to move around, they will move your luggage for you as well.
Mm.
It's tagging up and they go out. So that's the same DIY as well, and that's what I tend to use the American sites like use, is when I want to book hotels over there, the specialist hotels, and sometimes if you go to the Keys or Marco, you'll always use them because you get better value. And if you use things like the AAA card over there, you probably get better value if you're an AA card holder over here.
Yeah, that's definitely true. But be aware with US sites. Don't think because it's a US site, it will be cheaper than the UK site. What with the fluctuating dollar against the pound at the moment, you actually find that sometimes it's more expensive. Especially as with a US crowd, people aren't necessarily going on trips as long as you do from the UK, which means that sometimes it works out more expensive per night than it does if you book through Disney in the UK or Universal, things like that. But you brought up a really good point about one of the things with DIY is the fact that you can be really, really flexible, that you can choose to stay in a Disney hotel for a couple of nights and then a Universal hotel for a few nights, and then you might disappear off up to Clearwater for 3 days and then come back. So you can chop and change about where you want to stay. You don't have to stick rigid with the same hotel because that is what your package tells you you have to do. So it could be, I know Craig went on his last trip, although he has his own villa out there anyway, was able to just go and stay in the Polynesian for a couple of nights. And maybe it is that you want a couple of nights somewhere really special, so you decide to go and do that, something a little bit different. But DIY allows you to be flexible for that very, very reason. One other thing, you were talking about semi-DIY, and I think it's a really important thing to say, is that when we say DIY, it's you organise it yourself. You don't necessarily book it yourself. I will always, almost always, use a travel agent to book my flights because I'm ABTA protective, but also because it means that I don't have to pay for my flights until 10 weeks out. Mm-hmm. So although I am planning it myself, I'm actually using the travel agents because they're not spending out money I don't have to unnecessarily early. Paying it out 10 weeks before, and that money stays in my bank account and earns me interest rather than it stays in the travel agent's bank account and earns them interest. So we've talked about, I've talked about the odd days. Think about when you're booking your flights as well. The days that you travel on. A lot of people will go out on a Friday, a Saturday, Sunday, because it means they haven't got to take an extra day off work. And flights and airlines and people like that are not stupid about this at all. They understand that they can charge a little bit more for a weekend flight because more people are going to be wanting it. It's in demand more. So you will sometimes find that there's almost like a weekend supplement put on. Mm. So when you're checking, do check your prices for the weekend, but also check for like Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, because quite often you find it's cheaper to fly in the week than it is at the weekend. I certainly always, my first port of call is to look at weekday flights rather than weekend flights, because, you know, 2 weeks is 2 weeks, whether you go on a Friday or whether you go on a Thursday. You're not going to get an argument there. Also, one other thing to check as well with DIY flights, sometimes they add supplements on for things like seating together, which you don't necessarily always get when you book a package, and they can cost you up to sort of £20 a seat to do something like that, so just be very, very aware of that. I don't really have much else to do with DIY. I don't know, have you got anything else you want to say?
You might not want to sit together, but it's always there.
Yeah, that's true, yeah. That's very
much I just say, you know, I think it's been brought up, several people have asked about it, and I think DIY, and people have different opinions and different things come to the table, is something that we need to do as a group, and this is why we sort of did this, to sort of, once again, get debate and conversation going. I think somewhere like the Disney Bit Forum is a great place to go down there if you're a bit unsure, whatever, about DIY, or have ideas, and post them. Because as a community, we go across to sort of Florida an awful lot. And I do feel, and we've had this discussion before, that Virgin are taking the mickey a bit with what they're charging now. And the more people who do their own bit, I think some of your things you said are great there. You know, why spend money out yourself on the airline? If you found the cheap price, get the travel agent to do it for you.
Yeah.
That makes fantastic sense this morning. But I hadn't thought of that till you said it. And I think this is where we need to become a community and come together and, you know, protect each other and get the best bargains. But yeah, that's £3,000 saving that I've done. You can probably halve your cost.
Yeah.
And that's money that we don't all have.
No, so exactly. You know, and
the more people who do it, the more pressure you put on Virgin.
And, you know, if you can't be bothered or you don't have the time to book your own DIY and you've got enough money to go and book with Virgin, we're not saying don't do it, because, you know, no. You may be the sort of person who just, you know, likes to get it sorted by somebody else and not worrying. And that's one of the reasons why you pay a bit more for your holiday by doing it through a package deal. But if you've got the time and you've got the energy and, you know, you do get excited about planning your trip, this is just an extra element that you're able to take part in and enjoy. And certainly for me, I love doing all this sort of stuff, and I sit there with a piece of paper surrounding me, and I could spend hours. I really should be a travel agent, I reckon, because I could spend just hours and hours and hours just working on details. Even this evening, you know, I just sat and I was just pricing up what different ways could I do it if I wanted to go this summer. And it's not even because I'm planning on going out this summer, but just because it was just something that I just enjoy trying out and trying different ways. So, you know, if you've got any questions or anything you want to say with regards to booking DIY, go over to the forums, disneybrit.com/forum. Email us, podcast@disneybrit.com. Put messages on Facebook, anything like that at all. Because the more information we get out there about doing DIY holidays, the more people, A, are going to give it a go, and B, are going to benefit from the tips that you've got because you've been doing it for years.
Yeah, and we come back to this segment again and again. Even if it's just tips, as you say. I mean, you might book a trip using Virgin, that's great, but there might be a tip that someone has something to do extra. You know, someone was saying on the boards about the Virgin meet and greets and how quick they've got themselves down to and how they get the free meal out of it. Just things like that that, you know, we need to incorporate and get the most out of your holiday.
Definitely. Well, thank you, Juz.
Always a pleasure, young Adam.
Thank you once again for joining us for this edition of the podcast. I want to thank, as always, our sponsors, Attraction Tickets Direct and Complete Orlando. You can find them at www.attractionticketsdirect.co.uk and completeorlando.co.uk. Thanks once again to Juz, and we'll say thanks to Craig, although we didn't really hear anything from him at all. But those guys really do help make the show exactly what it is. Don't forget, you can email us your comments, questions, suggestions to podcast@disneybrit.com. We do still answer all of the emails that come in. Even if we don't do them straight away, we do try and catch up with them as quick as we can. Well done to our winner, Kez Francis, who was the winner of a pair of Mouse Meat tickets. She won the competition over on the Disney Brit forums. Fantastic entry. If you've not been over there, do go over to disneybrit.com/forum and you can have a look at the entries you put in there. Absolutely fantastic. You can ring our voicemail 0121 288 2858 from Europe and 407 545 7980 in the US. Of course, check out disneybrit.com for all of the latest Disney Brit information. You can go over to Facebook, friend of myself, Juz and Craig, and also join the Disney Brit fan page and everything else that goes on over there. Thank you to those people who are continuing to leave reviews on iTunes. They really are very, very helpful. People are looking at those and deciding whether this is the sort of show they want to listen to. Don't forget our YouTube channel. Not put a new video up there for a little while. I might try and do something like that very soon. Search for Disney Brit Podcast. You'll find us on there. And please don't forget to check out our sister podcast at ionorlando.com. Go over there and check out all the information. We're putting new things. We've had some new ride height stuff on there. We've got a new dining review section and a hotel review section on its way. And with Ion Orlando, don't forget to listen to ESPN 1080 AM. You go to ESPN Florida.com on Saturday, as we are going to be doing our second segment on the ESPN morning weekend morning show over there. So come and check that out. That'll be around 2:15 to 2:30. So if you come and have a listen on there, and that's about it, really. That leaves me nothing left to say other than the next edition of this podcast will be on Wednesday, the 17th of March. So until then, I'll see you.